The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Kick things off. I'm joined by Kieran Cunningham, the chief sports writer with the Irish Daily Star, and by Ellen Butler, News Talk reporter. A lot of people, Ellen, would have woke up this morning to election posters all over their towns and villages. I think officially midnight last night they could go up, but quite a few people said to me when the litter wardens clock off yesterday at about 4:30, that's really when they started to appear. There have been kind of abortive attempts to curtail their use or to ban them, haven't there?
There have. And like you say, I was driving home from work, I'm going to say about 6:30 yesterday, and they're all out, not to be ratting them out or anything. But yeah, woke up to see them dotted around the place this morning coming into work. And the argument again has restarted as to what the point of them is. Are they still relevant? To be honest, I'm not sure if they serve a purpose anymore. I feel like you're either interested in politics and you know that there's an election happening, or I was talking to my hairdresser at the weekend who didn't even know there was any election coming up. So there have been attempts to ban them. They still appear. Of course, there's the argument about plastic and the waste. And I know there are fines in place if you don't remove them. I think it's within 7 days of polling day they must be taken down again. So attempts are made to kind of police that kind of thing. But yeah, I suppose, as you can see from walking around towns and villages and Dublin City itself, that people obviously do think, and candidates do think, they're worth it.
Yeah, the argument often, Kieran, is that to ban them would favour incumbents, that the unknown candidate gets their face out there. Sometimes their face several times on one roundabout.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who it was who said politics is showbiz for ugly people. But
I'm sure somebody can Google it.
But I think some of, I'm not going to name any names, but some of those names, faces should definitely not be in posters. I think they're ludicrous in this day and age. But I think people feel in a trap that if you're running for election, you feel you have to do it because you figure everyone else is doing it. But I have certainly never voted on the basis of a poster, and I doubt if very many people have. I'm surprised, like, I know the Green Party are in power, that they haven't made any move to, because they are ugly and they don't add anything to the environment in any sense. And even though there's a fine to take them down, you often find the plastic cable ties are left on the poles.
Yeah.
So they are a litter nuisance, yeah. And I don't see the point, but people, they're just afraid not to go with the flow, I think, unless a decision is taken for them and they're banned. But there's no sign of that yet.
No, and sometimes I think a compromise that's often suggested is that you'd have certain areas maybe where you might allow the postery. And listen, some towns have their own kind of bylaws whereby election posters are maybe not allowed on the high street or the main street in the town. I know Malcolm Noonan, who's a TD from my neck of the woods, his last general election campaign, he ran without any postering. Now, he's postered previously in other campaigns, but he didn't poster the last time round. One suspects that that might be a compromise that more people would sign up to rather than outright ban, is it?
Yeah. Probably.
Have a certain area in town, down a dark alley somewhere that nobody can see.
Yeah, it does tap into that whole thing that am I going to be disadvantaged if I don't put the poster up? And of course, Malcolm being biodiversity minister, it wouldn't be a good look as a Green Party TD to be stapling or attaching posters up around the place.
Well, you say that. There was plenty of Green Party councillors and candidates I saw on lampposts and bridges and everything between Kilkenny and Dublin today. Are you kind of looking forward to this robust democratic debate we're about to engage in, Kieran? Or are you kind of dreading
dreading it. I think they're going I think it'll be an ugly campaign, and I think there will be candidates elected that will shock people that they got so many votes.
First That's been poster I saw today was Ireland local. Is Full.
Well, yeah,
the very first one.
Yeah. And there was a march on Monday in Dublin, and you know, you can try and play it down, say it's not that significant, but I thought the numbers were significant. And there's people even I know, and I'm very surprised at like the sentiments they see them express in social media. And I think there will be some questionable characters elected, both local and possibly European.
Well, listen, it's something we'll be talking plenty about between now and the 7th of June, polling day. If you weren't listening to the show yesterday, actually, we were in Limerick, and Limerick, of course, on the 7th of June will also be electing a mayor, the first directly elected mayor in this country, Limerick City and County. We spoke to many of the candidates. I think there's 14 altogether. We heard from 12 of them on the show. And if you go onto the News Talk app, you'll find all our podcasts there and our conversations with those different mayoral candidates available to listen back to. You can hear about their different policy priorities. That was yesterday while we are on Limerick. Today, though, I want to talk to you about GAA Go, the annual debate and discussion about GAA Go. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So the controversy, again, is, well, not to be facetious, it is the same controversy as last year, Kieran, isn't it? That some of the marquee games in the Munster Championship in particular are behind a paywall.
Yeah, well, if you look at the two championships, hurling and football, hurling is very front-loaded in that the big games come early, whereas with football is the opposite. Nearly all the big games are at the end of the championship, and they're free. So there's an issue here in that GAA Go have been going very hurling-heavy early on this year and last year. And part of that is an issue because, do you remember UNESCO a few years ago?
Yeah.
Brought hurling in as a protected cultural artefact. I mean, I can't remember the exact description, but the GAA and even the government here made great play of that, you know, that the hurling is very special.
Well, it's us hurling. We hide our light under a bushel, Kieran, as you know. We don't talk about how great the game is. So it was lovely for UNESCO to acknowledge
great
us.
Yeah, so nobody can watch it on television. It's really on a
burn.
Now
you have to pay to watch it.
No, but I think that it is a legitimate argument. See, part of the problem is the provincial councils are so strong and all the provincial football finals are shown live in television. That's an agreement that they will be shown live on RTE. And there's no need anymore. No, there's an argument for Ulster, definitely, and there's an argument for Connacht, but definitely not for Leinster. And you can argue because Munster and Kerry, if they could have won 11 in the last 12, that there's not much of an argument for Munster now. But with hurling, you have a very short window. You've only really, you know, a quarter of the 32 counties have decent hurling teams. Mm. So why are you hiding this? And like people can say, oh, it's not that hard to access. And it is a very competitively priced. The product is very good. But you are in a country where there are still areas with poor broadband and not everyone is tech literate. I know people dismiss that, but I know my own parents, they would not have a notion how to operate a smartphone, how to do anything digitally, how to sign up for that would have to be done for them. And I know the level of broadband in a lot of the country. And I know that I know people are angry with this, especially after what happened with RTE. The two key RTE executives were on the board of GAA Go, which is negotiating. Then they're negotiating with the GAA for rights. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't sit right with people. Tom Kenny, the former Cork curler, described it as a money-making racket. Whether you use the word racket or not, it's there to make money.
Yeah.
The GAA have done this to try and make money. The figures last year were interesting. Some of the games only got about a little over 1,000 viewers. Some of them got a reasonable audience, as to be said. But I think it's something people to have no time for, GAA people.
But you wonder as well why there's maybe a lack of excitement around the provincial championships in Leinster and Munster in hurling, particularly this year, Ellen, when so much is to play for. There's been so many teams have beaten each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's the potential actually for great excitement, and yet there doesn't seem to be any sense of that excitement. And some people will put that down to the new structure. The games are happening earlier. They're kind of not used to it happening at this time of year. They're coming a bit too thick, whatever it happens to be. But I think GAA Go plays a part in all of that, that you're only kind of partially engaging with either championship because you're not necessarily watching all those games.
Yeah, that's true. There is a kind of separation there. And I suppose, like, I kind of think there's a lot of given out about GAA Go. Like you say, same thing since last year. But if you're from a county that wouldn't have their team appear, wouldn't ever see their team on screen, it's a great resource in that sense. I'm not sure if people, it might be an unpopular opinion, but it has something to offer in that sense.
Yeah,
they
are showing games that RT would never have shown in the past. No, you have to give them credit for that. But it's the big games, particularly some of the Munster hurling games. I think most of Cork's games are behind the paywall. And Cork is traditionally, you know, a hurling powerhouse. It is the biggest, there's more hurling clubs than any other county in Ireland. And it's hard to watch them play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think even the point of that about kind of people being incapable to use it, you talk about your own parents, but I'm thinking of my parents and they're absolutely not technophobes and my dad would be well capable of kind of getting it up on his phone. But even that extra leap maybe of getting, and I know he's listening, casting, he'd be appalled,
casting it onto
his television. Absolutely. That's kind of an extra step, and he'd probably look for it. And I know last year he came down to our house to watch it on GAA Go because I said, listen, come down and I'll throw it up onto the television so we can watch it.
I've always thought little that you shouldn't like that. Make things hard for people. If you want to sell something to somebody, don't make it hard for them.
Yeah.
GAA Go, there's a few steps that are just a pain. And people prefer having to press a button on the remote and you watch something.
Convenience. People will always do the convenient thing. Which actually brings us on to the other topic I want to talk about before we wrap things up, which is transport in the city. Because this comes down to convenience as well in a lot of people's minds. The reason so many people get into their car, they don't walk or cycle or get on the bus or the Lewis or the Dart, whatever it happens to be, is often down to convenience. The car is right outside their front door. And the CEO of Dublin Bus was before an Oireachtas committee today and was asked about what the greatest barrier is to improving the service here and in the city, and said it's the private vehicle. It's the cars that are in the way.
Yeah, it's a car-obsessed country. I think there's no getting away from that. Like I was actually trying to check, I was checking this before I came in. There's a famous quote attributed to Margaret Thatcher that anyone who travels in a bus after the age of 25 has failed in life. And Jeremy Corbyn actually mentioned it in the House of Commons, but it's never been firmed up whether she actually said it. But to be honest, I've always felt that anything that wagon might have said, you probably believe it. And anything she says, you do the opposite. So I'm all in favour of people taking buses. To be honest, I wouldn't take the car into the city centre unless I really had to. Like I'm lucky enough in that I can walk to O'Connell Bridge in about 25 to 30 minutes at a brisk walk. And, you know, if you walk in and out, you know, that's close to you're doing the guts of your 10,000 steps. But I think a lot of people, like I see people near me, and there's a gym, one of the big gym chains, and I see people driving in and I know where they live. And they're literally driving. They're 5 minutes walk away and they're driving to the gym and driving back. And like if they walked, that would be their warm up before the gym routine. Like people just think they have to drive everywhere.
And
it's that culture. Like because with work over the years, like I've traveled to a lot of countries and the likes of Copenhagen, where the attitude is so different. Mm. It's all about cycling, walking and public transport. And even in London, like you will see people in top executive jobs and will take the tube. You know, because it's much more convenient and far quicker. But here, the culture is you look like a failure if you're spotted in the bus.
Yeah, well, there's the cultural obsession with the car, as Kieran sets out, Alan. And there is a bit of snobbery about the bus, isn't it? Colin McCarthy was on with Pat Kenny earlier in the week, and Pat was talking about expanding Lewis's and other light rail options. And Colin McCarthy had the temerity to disagree with Pat and suggest, actually, Bus Connects is the thing that's going to transform public transport in this city more so than anything else, because of the way the suburbs are spread out. It's much easier for buses to reach more people in different areas than it would be to lay down tracks, and we just need to get over the snobbery. There are people out there and they love the idea of a Lewis going down their road, and they'll never walk down that same road and wait at a bus stop.
That's an interesting argument. I'm not sure if I agree.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think there's a snobbery around?
I think, like you say, Kieran, if the transport, the options were there and they were reliable, I think people would use them.
Yeah, I have to say.
Societal acceptance, like if we make it uncool to use your car, people will stop using their car. That's how the psychology of this kind of stuff works. But I get Billy Hahn, the CEO of Dublin Bus, before this transport committee today, saying that the reason their service isn't reliable is because you're stuck behind endless cars with one person in them holding up a bus containing 80 people. Now, I commend you, Kieran, for not taking the bus, because I could have got the bus to work this morning and I didn't, because it would require me getting out of bed an hour earlier. Yeah. I put my hand up and admit to that.
There's something that I want to make, Kieran, the transformative nature of the way Local Link has transformed rural Ireland. Like a lot of people might be aware of that service in the cities, but before there used to be one bus, CIE bus or whatever, a day to a lot of particularly more remote areas. Now there's three or four, and it's very cheap. I was up in Donegal a couple of weeks ago, and like you can go 10 miles for €2 or something. And that makes a big difference, you know, that like I saw quite a few of Ukrainians who take it regularly, a lot of pensioners who don't have to pay at all. Like it's been a lifeline to them, especially because they got rid of the train in Donegal in the 1950s for some weird reason. Sinn Féin are bringing it back, they say. They say that anyway.
Joe in Galway says there should be a dedicated RT sports channel for all of these matches. Somebody else says, I'm not completely against GAA, but there was no free-to-air hurling matches on last weekend. Another listener points out that all of Cork's first three games were behind a paywall. Cork might be out after three games. In terms of buses, but actually, sorry, here's one. James in Middleton from Cork, obviously, on GAA Go. It's removed the jeopardy from the championship because only the diehards will survive. Gone are the days of turning up for work on the Monday after losing a hurling match and dreading the embarrassment from the slagging and banter coming from all angles, especially from people who only found themselves watching by accident. Now you can come in safe in the knowledge that most people wouldn't have even been aware that the match was on. James, you'll be thankful for that in Cork at least this year. Thankful for small mercies. 087 1400 106. Kieran Cunningham, Chief Sports Writer at the Irish Daily Star. Ellen Butler, News Talk Reporter. Thank you both.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.